odd, strange, or just plain bizarre is really your cup of tea, then the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast will give you that fix. Can't believe it? Well, listen for yourself as Jordan and Keith delivers the strangest news you definitely won't find on CNN or Fox. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jordan Giles, and we've got a fun show in store for you guys, okay? I think I say that every time, and sometimes it doesn't deliver. I'm pretty sure, though, this time this is going to be the hit. This is going to be on the greatest hits. It'll be, now that's what I call podcast 34. This will be on that, track number one. So let's hope I'm not lying, and let's bring you guys some weird news. In case you're right now in a bed and just trying to go to sleep, I'll talk like this for the duration of this sentence, drifting off slowly, ready to pass out, thinking about sheep, thinking about taxes, thinking about what's for breakfast in the morning. Now, for the people here that are just on their way to work or something like that, I'm going to have a show packed, chocked, full of... We're going to first open up with a little bit of sports. So this is going to be the sports hour. Sports time. Now, as you guys know, recently we've been doing something where out of every two episodes, we're trying to introduce a new sports, weird sport that everyone goes, huh, that's weird. I'm surprised that people do that. That's interesting. I'm interested. Tell me more. Now, the last time we did chess boxing, which is the game that combined chess and boxing together. Before that, we did the professional wife carrying competition. Now, World Championship of Gurning is a little bit of a different, you know, sector beyond those two. It's not something that's physical at all. Actually, this is a very non-physical sport. This is really a game of seeing who can make the ugliest face. Now, the World Gurning Championship is in Ingremont, Cumbria. It involves contestants pulling their ugliest face possible. The fair can trace its origins back as far back as 1267. That's right. That's over, you know, that's hundreds of years ago. That is so long ago. 1267 year of our Lord, when crab apples were given to townsfolk by the Lord of Manor. Last year in 2015, the 16-time champion Tommy Mattinson was defeated by Gordon Blacklock from Whitehaven in a shock result. So I know what you guys are thinking. How can I get into this sport, or at least that uncle that I'm not a big fan of? Now, in gurning, you have to put on your best, ugliest face, but there are rules to this. While men and women join and play together, unlike, you know, other sports like baseball or golf, you know, people can just join in and just start making ugly faces together. But there are the rules of absolutely no makeup. You can't use makeup because it would just make you way too ugly. Along with that, you can use false teeth. That is totally allowed if you have false teeth. So this is one of those few sports where having false teeth helps. Much like, I don't know, hockey. But that's not all. This has been a championship that, like I said before, has been going along for a very long time now. This is not our first gurning championship. In fact, the fact that is what we're going to break into now, this all takes place in the Crab Fair. This is going to be a little bit of history for you and a little bit of sports. In medieval times, centuries ago, after harvesting time, which usually ended in September, people around the manor of Ingremont gathered wild fruits, plentiful in South Cumberland, you know, Europe stuff, and with their vegetables, corn, and animals, went to pay their dues to the Lord of the Manor. From the sudden congregation of these people, The opportunity was taken to celebrate the completion of harvesting for yet another year and to forget their poverty and tribulations by taking part in a series of crude but arousing sporting games. So you thought, you know, gurning's just this one thing. No, they decided, let's make the weirdest things and put them all together. The dumbest, funnest, weirdest sports all together, and let's forget about how poor we are. Because historically, that's how you fix a problem. Which is true. Everybody needs morale. So they decided, let's do this annually. Let's make one of the earliest fairs ever, one of the long-running earliest parties to do things, and it's the Crab Fair. So a typical crab fair would begin at dawn with the erection of the greasy pole. Please don't snicker. Because that's not funny. So they erect a greasy pole at the fish stone by the market cross. The pole was 30 foot tall and greased with lard. Less funny now as you explain it, right? You felt bad for laughing. The objective was to climb to the top and retrieve the prize. Originally, the prize was a hat, probably a top hat. The winner, normally an agile youth, paraded around the town wearing his prize. In 1852, the prize became a side of mutton, which, if not won by the end of the day, was cut up and divided amongst the poor. The tradition continues to this day, and in addition to the main prize, ribbons are now attached to the pole, which can be grabbed from lower levels in exchange for gifts in the town. So there's a pole that's all greased up, and despite the grease, you still need to climb it. I recommend going on YouTube and looking up just people climbing greasy poles, because it sounds funny, and it will be funny to watch, I'm sure. And the point of it is, get to the top, get some food for the fam. If not, at least grab a couple ribbons on your way down, and, you know, just start handing them out to people. Help them out. Sounds like a fun sport. Sounds like a much funner sport to watch. I liked wife carrying because it was one of those off-the-wall things. Chess boxing just felt like something, two things I can never do. But this is also one that, despite me never being able to do it, this has got to be the funnest sport to look at. So it doesn't stop there. Now, the next events I'm going to be talking to you guys about are going to be some normal, and, well, let's find out for ourselves. I'm going to start naming them down. There was street racing, which isn't like the street racing which happens right outside of my apartment, which keeps me up at night, and I really hate the fact that there's street racing right outside my apartment. This is the street racing that was just, it followed to the scattering of apples. Races were held on the main street between the King's Arms and the Blue Bell Inn. Prizes included money, loaves, and other commodities. Because, you know, loaves of bread were very popular prizes back then. Food. Not only that, but there was also Cumberland wrestling. The origins of the type of wrestling are obscure, but it is reputed to have been introduced in the 10th century by Norse-Irish settlers. Each wrestler locks his hands between his opponent's back. This is called taken hod. Taken hold, but, you know, taken odd, whatever. The object of the game is to lift your opponent up, then throw him to the ground so that he lands his face upwards. Costumes were worn by the wrestlers, and richly embroidered prizes may be awarded. So you just have to hold them the entire time, and who can pick up who and throw them down? These are one of those things that I, once again, can't really imagine winning at, but really would love to watch. We also have the great sport of pipe smoking, where each competitor is given a clay pipe filled with black twist tobacco and in a lighted candle or taper. The person who smokes his tobacco in the quickest time is the winner. So that's a fun game. You just gotta, who can smoke quicker? I feel like I've seen a lot of those videos on Facebook already. There was also the game of hat racing, where men would run after a hat. Because back then, we don't have a lot of things to really choose from. So there's a lot of racing. There's also bicycle racing, and there's also the cuddy, and that's when a horse race. So there was other games that they played there, such as leaping over horses or ponies, or who can jump over a pony the highest. and just things along those lines. You know, pony jumping, pony racing, bicycle jumping. Not a thing, but why not? And, you know, who can smoke faster? There's even the game of who can eat a lot of tea cakes first and then whistle a tune. So it's just things that you hear, like, a great-great-grandmother from the old country say, oh, yeah, we do horse hoofing and we do powder poofing and, you know, just things along those lines that don't seem like they make sense. But in, you know, the era before a football or, you know, a TV, I can totally see how horse jumping and pipe smoking were huge sports. And then finally, we go back to gurning, which has been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years and even has world championships now. So if you're somebody that feels like you're not great at a lot of sports, can't do a lot of jogging, don't have a lot of great hand-eye coordination, but you're ugly, huh? I think we have the perfect solution for you, and that is to just go on and present yourself in the ugliest face possible and hope you win some mutton or a top hat. With that being said, we're going to have to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll be talking about some more weird news, including changing your taste buds. So stick around and see you soon.
Golden State Media Concepts Fantasy Football Podcast is your one-stop shop for fantasy football news and advice. Can't decide on who to draft on the first round? Going gaga on how to line up your team? Got you covered. Traditional leagues, dynasty leagues, PPR leagues, IDP leagues, even daily fantasy football leagues. Join us as we break down all the questions of fantasy football. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Fantasy Football Podcast.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Hope you had a great commercial break. Did a lot of thinking, processing. Right now, I'm going to tell you guys another story that is going to be a little bit more historical as well. Kind of, but it's very current. We're going to do the best of both worlds here. So, you guys know Hitler, right? And how he had a wife, Eva Braun. Her panties were just sold at an auction. I know. The lucky dog who won those. So, she had a pair of lilac panties, and they were once owned by Eva Braun. And they were sold at an auction for $3,000. Pounds, which as we know in American dollars is anywhere between 3,000 or a million. The briefs were part of a collection under the Hammer at Phillips Cyril Auction House in Malvern and were expected to fetch around 400 pounds, but sold for 2,900. A gold ring, a silver mirrored box, and a silver holder still containing Eva Braun's bright red lipstick were also sold. They were sold to a private collector. The panties, featuring a lace and ribbon trim, were embroidered with Eva Braun's initials, and the gold cluster ring set an opal surrounded by six rubies sold for $1,250, while the silver lipstick engraved with the EB sold for $360. So I want you guys to know, panties made more than silver. There was silver with an opal, and that didn't sell get as much as actual panties did. Just like, I know that it's history doesn't count, but yeah, I mean, all I'm saying is it's kind of funny how the world works, right? So the auction confirmed that the lots were all sold to a collector in the UK. Sophie Jones, the auctioneer and valuer, said that array of people bid on the items. She said it was generally private collectors interested in the lots. And it was generally people that were fascinated with the period of history. I think people were bidding on them were private collectors more than dealers. So many of the items at the auction, including the underwear, had a certificate of authenticity from the relevant seller, she added. So this was one of those situations where I'd like to think, yeah, history. It wasn't for any means of, oh, yeah, cool panties. It's not like a Craigslist kind of situation. But, you know, people that are fascinated with it, it does have her initials embroidered. It is definitely a piece of history. Still can't believe that it sold more than silver. But, you know, that's where we live. It's the world we live in. So No pressure there, guys. Now, along with that, I'm going to go ahead and jump into our other story. This is going to be a little bit more technology-based. This is the story about taste buds. Or not the story. This is the fact about taste buds. So there is a new machine, device that people have that they're working on, and it tricks taste buds into thinking bland food is delicious. It has the ability to make broccoli taste like chocolate, they even say. It's called the Taste Buddy, and it emits the thermal and electric signals that stimulate taste buds. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a big fan of eating unhealthy junk food like pizza. If you can make a way to replicate like celery to taste like pizza, I am all in. Replicate dirt to taste like pizza, I'm all for it. I would just really love something where I can kind of hit my craving without having to give up on the diet. This might be the best invention that could have been made since, I don't know, the TV, the radio, the internet. This is going to change the world if, you know, this goes along as planned. So when trying to stick to a diet, they say the temptation is just too much. But this is going to be something that you place on your tongue, and it's going to trick you into believing healthy food is delicious treats. It's a prototype that they designed in London in the university. And when placed in the mouth, the Taste Buddy emits a thermal electric signal, and it stimulates the taste buds. While the early prototype is restricted to imitating sweet or salty snacks, future versions have the potential to completely alter our diets. For instance, by transforming bland tofu into juicy steak or conjuring up chocolate broccoli, it is claimed. Professor Adrian Check from the City University of London, who led the team that created the device, said, "What started out as a fun engineering experiment has now led on to something much more exciting, with potential to have a positive social impact." So, when trying to stick to a diet, I end up getting a lot of weird cravings. Like, I would never really want fried chicken unless I know I can't have fried chicken. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, God, is it, like, hot in here, or is it just fried chicken? How about we go get some food, guys? Are you in the mood for Popeyes, KFC? I don't know. I'm just throwing some names out there. So with the Taste Buddy, they say that it could eventually help save lives by allowing people to switch to healthier food choices. He added that many children hate the taste of vegetables, so I knew that when I became an engineer, I wanted to make a device that would allow children to eat vegetables that taste like chocolate. It is currently in the early form of the Taste Buddy, consists of a 2-centimeter wide tab that sits on the tongue and is wired to a bulky processor. To enhance sweetness, the device warms up very rapidly and stimulates specific taste receptors that react to heat. A weak electric current is used to target other taste buds that are responsible for salty flavors. Members of the public will have a chance to try out the Taste Buddy for themselves at the Big Bang UK Young Scientist Engineers Fair. The event, aimed at young people interested in science, technology, and engineering, takes place from March 15th to March 18th. So it's something pretty exciting about this. I don't know. How do you guys feel? They're saying that you can turn an orange into a grapefruit. They're saying that the possibilities are endless. I guess what I'm most excited about is the fact that, like, I can now eat whatever I want. I mean, I can only eat celery. Like, I'll just get my house and I'll have, like, chicken and I'll have, like, brown rice. But I'll just have this machine on me at all times. I'm thinking it can be like a Mentos, like a Tic Tac thing where you just throw it in your mouth and all of a sudden, oh, wow, this tastes like that. This tastes like that. A little shock to the system. That tastes like that, too. It's something that I'm really excited about. And hopefully we can see this on the shelves soon. And, you know, all get skinny. That's the goal, right? That's all we need in life. But, you know, this is what's special about this is I, from what I know, haven't seen anything like this before. This is something that normally when you hear about it, it's like, oh, cool. You know, science fiction kind of thing. This is a Star Trek invention. Most of our machines, whenever it comes to weight loss, tend to be a bit more, either very practical looking or, you know, it just requires exercise or just crazy. A couple of those would be the treadmill bike. So it's a treadmill that is it goes 10 miles per hour and it's constantly going forward. So the bicycle is powered by your footsteps. It looks more like a scooter, actually. and it's something that you can just ride while walking. It seems a bit purpose defeating, really. I mean, you're just walking on a treadmill that's moving on land, so you basically could just be walking. But wheels are involved, and everybody loves wheels. They make the world a funner place. On top of that, they have things like the Velcro shoe system. And the Velcro shoe system is where you have Velcro that's attached to the bottom of your feet and on the floor, and you just step up and down pacing, and pulling off the Velcro is sure to make you lose tons of weight, right? So there's a lot of inventions like that. There's the dumbbell phone, which attaches a dumbbell to your phone, so when you answer a phone, you're kind of getting a workout holding a dumbbell. And you're getting things like the Hawaii chair, which is every sane person knows is a chair with a motor under it, which just moves in circular motion, where you're just going to start burning calories and also looking like a sitting down hula hooped idiot, which is fun, which is great. It'll at least get you shaped up in the office. But to me, it seems like it wouldn't work. Absolutely not ever. But if you guys are interested in the Hawaii chair, Google Hawaii chair infomercial, and you can just see people trying to look natural in gym clothes, looking very dumb, just swirling around. With that being said, though, we're going to have to go to a commercial break. When I get back, we're going to wrap up the show. Hope you guys are enjoying it. Stick around.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. We're to the end of our show. We've got a little bit more time left to talk about some more weird stuff for your entertainment. Enjoytainment. I'm Jordan Giles still, and here we are talking about Hunter Jobbins, who, when he returned to his car in his class at a Kansas State University a few weeks ago, his Kit Kat bar was missing with an apology note from the candy thief that was left in its place. So this was, I'm sure people have kind of heard about the story at some point. The kid found a note in place where his Kit Kat bar should have been that said, "Saw Kit Kat in your cup holder. I love Kit Kats, so I checked your door and it was unlocked. Did not take anything other than the Kit Kat. I am sorry and hungry." So the kid, you know, he wasn't upset after realizing the Kit Kat was the only thing missing from his car. And he kind of felt like, oh yeah, no big deal. This is a funny story. Everything's going to be okay. So, you know, Kit Kat being the great people they are, they decided to help out. And they sent a representative to the campus with 6,500 Kit Kat bars. The Kit Kat shared a photo on Twitter of the candy stuffed in Jobbins' car. So in the photo, you can see that there is absolutely no room for this kid, like anything other than Kit Kats and him in driving. He can drive. They're blocking some of the window of his vision. They're completely taken over the passenger seat. They've completely taken over the entire back seat. I mean, 6,500 Kit Kat bars. The guy said it's just crazy how it all happened. Added that students started calling him the Kit Kat guy. "And if you have candy in your car, I would probably hide it, or there's a chance that the Kit Kat thief might take it from you," said him. So this is one of those cute, fun stories where, don't worry, he's okay. Everybody's okay. The Kit Kat bars are just taking a comeback. And I really wish something like that would happen to me. This is one of those stories that I kind of get jealous of hearing because I'm somebody that I feel like any time I get something like this that's wrong to me, it doesn't go much further than, oh, man, I just lost my Kit Kat. That's cute, but what do I do with this, you know? What a terrible situation. Like, if I order a pizza somewhere and all I get is dough and just uncooked dough and sauce, which has happened one time, I guess I don't use social media enough. I don't post it around because I feel I don't get my comeuppance. I don't get my just desserts for that kind of stuff. But, yeah, well, maybe if this teaches us any lesson, we should probably just post everything that we do in our lives on the internet because eventually we might get a little bit of payback for it. And speaking of pay, we're going to jump right over to Alabama, the richest state in the South, according to Alabama, of course. So Alabama State Senator Paul Sanford, he came up with a way to make up for the $300 million budget shortfall with a GoFundMe account. After about 6 days, the total has skyrocketed to $1,250. As of Thursday, August 13th, we've still got a long way to make the $300 million goal, he said. So not much money raised, but there was a $100 donation from a woman named Julia Weller. This is where she wants her money designated. Please give my donation 100% to the Alabama Appellate Courts. With priorities being a real document case management system where litigants can pay online and have to access true e-filing. So people are starting. Diana Foster gave $5 and she said, I would donate more funds, but I don't want this money misused. So people are donating petty amounts just to either come up with complaints like you guys really aren't doing this right. Or they're donating it saying, huh, you guys aren't that smart with it. So it's kind of backfiring. It's a way for a voice. It's giving people a voice to complain about how government's kind of letting them down. And if it's not, then it's just people saying, hey, you know, just kind of screw you guys in this point. So a lot of people are donating $5 and things along those lines just so they can complain. So if you guys want to support the state of Alabama or just criticize them, feel free to go to their GoFundMe account and hopefully we can get them back on the right track. Now, finally, with our last piece of news, it's going to be about AOL, you know, the thing that we used to get on the internet before we really had great internet. AOL has, you know, not been around in the picture for a long time. Haven't seen them in the news for, you know, what seems to be years. There was a California woman who stumbled upon a voice from the past, though, during a trip to Ohio when she discovered her Uber driver was the man behind America's online famous "You've Got Mail" greeting. Brandy, did you guys like that? Was that believable? "You've Got Mail." I think I'm not too bad at it. So Brandy Barker was in the Cleveland area over the weekend for the presidential campaign when she got into an Uber driven by Elwood Edwards. After Edwards told her about his claim to fame, she took a video of him saying the phrase and posted it on Twitter. Edwards told the Associated Press in 1999 that he recorded his AOL greetings in 1989. He was also the voice of AOL's "Welcome" and "Goodbye" and "Files Done" messages. "You've Got Mail" became a pop culture catchphrase in the late 1990s and served as the title of the 1998 Tom Hanks film. So, for anybody out there that is lucky enough to have an Uber driver that used to be basically a legend, right? I mean, this guy is top-of-the-line celebrity. Cheers. Hats off to you. As for me, though, the only Uber drivers I have incredibly sad stories, even friends that I know that do Uber driving, so... on that note, though, we are going to have to end the show. I hope you guys had a great time with it. If you liked us, you can check us out on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and you can go visit us at our website, gsmcpodcast.com. So without further ado, I will let you guys go and see you next time. Stick around, stay tuned, and stay saucy, folks.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.